Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And before we get into what's been going on in our own lives, we have a sponsor.
Yay!
New sponsor for the show, Destinations with Character Travel. We will tell you more about them a little bit later, but just wanted to get it out there. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Now that we've gotten the plug out of the way, Seth, how have you been this past week?
Thank you for asking. I've been great. There was a little thing called the Velocicoaster Grand Opening.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say I had gotten on the ride once or twice or 17 times before opening day. But it was still great being there. I was one of the crazy people who got there like 6:30 a.m. Honestly, I was actually on and off of the ride before it was supposed to even open. They mad props to the Universal operations team, because they had that thing running four trains, amazingly efficient. Plus, we got free churros. Like, what more could you want?
Listen, I have a beef about the churros.
Oh, you've got they're actually sugar. They're not beef. They are dough and sugar. But you have a problem with the churros.
More like a problem with people not being grateful for the churros.
Okay.
That picture of the trash can full of churros. What's wrong with you?
Well,
you get a free churro and you throw it away?
In their defense, by the end of the night, like, I ate three churros, and by the time I got to my fourth one, I could not possibly finish it. And by the end of the night, they weren't just giving people one churro. They were giving people, like, fistfuls of churros. They had so many left over. They were handing people two or three churros, and there's just nowhere. You can't put that many churros down. It's got to go somewhere.
So you're saying you would turn down a churro bouquet?
Oh, my God. it'll be a while before I'm very grateful. I was actually there's a great meme going around of Bill Davis holding.
Yes.
And I was actually standing there when that photo was taken. I didn't get my camera out quick enough. I got a shot of him walking away after half a second after that picture was taken. But I'm very grateful for the churros, but there's only so many churros a man can eat.
That's fine. I'll give you that one.
I would say that was only the second best thing I did this week.
The best
thing was probably just we watched In the Heights on HBO Max. And as someone who was kind of lukewarm on the Broadway show, I liked the movie much better than the Broadway production.
Oh, wow.
Great cast, smart changes to the script, amazing direction. Thumbs up. If you're already subscribing to HBO Max, give it 2.5 hours of your life. It's a little bit long, but it's
yeah. I had tickets to go see it this coming Monday, today if you're listening to the audio version, but I had to cancel.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. There is a Disney call thingy happening right when I would have gone to see the movie. So I was like regretfully canceling that Alamo reservation. But
Other than having to cancel that, how was your week?
My week has been good. It's been pretty low key. The weather has been brutal.
Loki? Sure. You watched Loki?
I did.
We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. But it's been really just hot and awful. So I've been staying inside in the air conditioning. The heat index was like above 100. So, And I got a tiny little thing in the mail that some of you Nintendo fans might recognize. I was one of the five people that got one of these. For those of you listening to the audio version, it's the Instax new Pokemon Snap instant printer. And I've been printing out pictures that I've taken in new Pokemon Snap on my Switch.
Now, can you clarify which end of Pikachu those pictures come out of?
They come out of his head.
Oh, okay. All right. Just check.
Yes. They come out of his head. But it's really charming. And I kind of like got bored with new Pokemon Snap after a while. But this is like reignited me wanting to take stupid pictures.
And once you run out of that cartridge, how much do new pictures, new prints cost for that?
Well, each cart is 10 images. And I think they're like $12, $13 a pack, which isn't great. But I have like a regular Instax camera with a bunch of stockpiled expired film.
See now kids can learn to experience what we did when we were growing up before digital cameras. We mean me and myself and I, because do not fall into that demographic. But when we had a camera, you had like 24 shots, and you better use those carefully. You better think real carefully about what you're going to press that shutter button on.
Yep.
And now you get to experience that again.
Yeah. Well, now I'm taking pictures of video game animals, and then once I print it, then that's it, and I have to I have to choose wisely. All right. But without any further ado, let's get into the news. Kicking off with an update from Kings Island, they have delayed their opening of Camp Cedar, their new luxury playground accommodation, by a little bit. It will now open on June 24th.
Yeah, it's kind of late notice.
kind of
rough for anyone who would, especially since this is a campground, so you're probably not flying in. There's a good chance that you're driving across the state or across the country to visit here. But hopefully, you know, they're not the only resort or theme park to have issues with labor staffing. Mm-hmm. Plus, they've had weather, and there's a lot of material shortages. It's really tough to get lumber right now, and a lot of other kind of basic construction materials. So, you know, it's a shame that they've had to reschedule, but they're taking care of people who had booked reservations and giving them refunds at least.
Yeah, they're also they're trying to relocate people if they don't want a refund, or if their trip is, you know, very, very close and they can't get money back or anything. They are calling around and helping them book stays at other campgrounds, which I thought was really nice and kind of going above and beyond just the standard, we're sorry, here's a refund.
Right. Looks like it will be a pretty nice campground when it's all finished. Lots of amenities like laundry facilities, fire pits. So hopefully they will get that turned around and finished up soon.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the God of Mischief in...
So one person in this room has seen two episodes.
Yes. That is true.
So you apparently come from an alternate timeline where Loki's second episode is already public, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, but if you tell us about that, then the Time Variance Authority will break in here and kidnap you.
No, because the embargo lifted.
Oh, okay. So you can't.
So I think I'm good.
So, all right. No heavy spoilers.
No,
but...
of course not.
Where are we going? Well, first let's talk about where we went in the first episode.
Yeah.
which they literally pick up right with the last time we saw Loki in Avengers in Endgame. It's amazing how, for a god who has possession of the Tesseract, he really gets himself caught real quickly. It really shows just what a puny god he is. Hulk was right.
Poor Hiddles. I love how just like immediately, this feels like 2012 Loki with no character development versus the last time we saw him in, well, I guess before. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. Cause he's grown as a character throughout, you know, Thor Ragnarok. And we, you know, this version of Loki is pre all that growth.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the evil Loki that we knew from Avengers. What I thought was interesting is, one, I love the animated sequence.
Yes! In
the episode. Do we get anything that cool and trippy in the second episode?
No.
No.
But there is. The episode starts with a needle drop that I literally screamed at my TV over. So,
awesome.
It was. There are certain songs that I'm like conditioned to because of previous movies in my brain that if I hear it, I'm like, oh, yes. And that's okay. That's the case with Cruella, because at the very end, it's out now, so I can say this. It they play "Sympathy for the Devil" by the Rolling Stones, and I've loved that since Interview with the Vampire. So that was a big pop for me. This one, I feel like I can't spoil it, but. I will say it involves a song from one of the Shrek films.
There better not be Smash Mouth involved.
It's Smash Mouth. You caught me. Oh, I'm just kidding. No, but it was really good, and it really worked for me, at least. I also loved kind of the nods in that cartoon segment of the first episode where they reference madness and a multiverse and a Nexus event.
Oh, definitely. This is teasing us for Doctor Strange and what comes beyond. Marvel Cinematic Universe, for sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, like, whose side we're supposed to be on in this. Because you want to be on Loki's side because, one, it's got an amazingly charismatic actor. And two, the series is named after him.
Yeah.
But he's definitely more of an anti-hero than a protagonist. And the question is, if he is opposed to the Time Variance Authority, does that necessarily mean the Time Variance Authority are the good guys? You got to kind of agree with Loki's assessment that this is all BS, that they're, you know,
BS that
a bunch of people can just decide, you know, what the correct timeline is.
Messing with it, what is allowed and what's not,
right? It all seems pretty arbitrary.
I'm
curious to see where this goes philosophically.
I think in the comics there's some history about them being bad, but we'll see what happens. I love it. Kind of had Mindhunter vibes to me. I don't know if you've watched that on Netflix or not, but the pairing of Loki, like the green detective time variant, and Owen Wilson, who is just fantastic.
it definitely goes back to the original. I remember Manhunter when it was Red Dragon, a book, but it goes back to the idea of using a killer to catch a killer. In this case, catch himself. Which Loki it is that he's chasing after. I think that's an interesting puzzle for us to find out.
It is. I will say no more, because
can't wait till Wednesday.
I'm already getting in trouble in the comments. You'll see it on Friday. It's really good.
Is it Fridays or is it Wednesdays?
Or Wednesdays. Sorry.
Wednesdays, yes.
Wednesdays are the new Fridays.
Wednesdays are the new Fridays, but unfortunately it's still, what, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., something ridiculous.
Yeah,
like that.
Disney, if you're listening,
listened. They don't they've heard it. They're still doing it. I think it's so their servers don't get overwhelmed.
Like prime time. HBO does it.
Well, I mean, think of the people who work second shift or third shift, and they can't just watch something at 8 p.m. They're thinking of them. I think it's very nice.
Okay. Over
at, right along.
Over at Shanghai Disneyland, Mickey's Storybook Adventure, a brand new stage show, will debut at the Walt Disney Grand Theater on June 15th.
The thing that is amazing to me about the press release pictures for this is how many people there are standing very closely together with no masks on stage.
Yes.
We cannot get Disney here in Orlando to put on a show that involves more than two people standing on a stage together, seemingly. Like, our live theaters are still closed here in Disney World, but Shanghai apparently is taking every performer that they have and putting them all on stage at once.
It's a big deal. And
yeah.
I mean, there are 23 people yep. in this show, counting characters, what? Dancers, musicians, all of
and
that stuff.
A 28-minute show, which is a pretty substantial show. It's not, you know, quite the Frozen show that was at the Hyperion. But you know, nearly a half hour is a good substantial show.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you know, they're taking characters from a lot of popular franchises, Jungle Book, Moana, Mulan. I think Olaf is kind of the star of the show.
Yeah.
Along with Mickey and Goofy. So they're really kind of hitting every demographic, every era of Disney characters in there.
Brian said, so Mickey and the Magical Map is in Shanghai. It definitely seems that way, especially with this press yeah. photo of Mulan, Rapunzel, and Moana. Yeah.
I can see that, except Olaf instead of an ink spot.
Yeah.
Fewer paintbrushes, I'm guessing.
Maybe no Corey Burton as Yen Sid.
Right. Yeah, I miss the Magical Map show.
I do too.
Pour one out for that.
So this show will premiere at a special event. I believe it's invite only on the 15th, but it will open to all guests on the 16th to celebrate Shanghai's 5th anniversary.
Just a couple days away.
Yeah.
I can't believe 5 years already.
I know.
I remember being on a Disney cruise ship and watching the, opening ceremonies, at the boat on the big screen that they have at the pool.
I had just moved to Orlando after college when it opened, and I watched the ceremony on YouTube, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of the attractions coverage when everybody got to go out to Shanghai. Not me.
Speaking of time flying, 20 years since Tokyo DisneySea opened, coming up in September.
And they're going to be celebrating for about a year. It starts on September 4th of this year and runs through September 3rd of next year.
And of course, since this is a Japanese theme park, they will have amazing merchandise and
yep.
food that just, you know, it looks too good to eat and too cute to take out of the box. But and along with the special merchandise and menus, decorations. And around the Aquasphere area and around MiraCosta. MiraCosta's the hotel that kind of borders right up to the park, and that's also celebrating its 20th anniversary.
Yeah. And the Disney Resort line, which is their monorail system, will have special passes that you could book, just like the ticket image. Mm-hmm. When you go ride the monorail, because that one you have to pay,
you have to pay
to
for
ride.
There. Obscure Japanese law.
Yep. Well, it's considered transportation, which mm-hmm. is why you have to pay for it.
It's also why I believe their railroad there does not make any stops.
It
just takes you from one train station right back to the same train station. Because if they let you off somewhere else, then they would have to be regulated as a transportation.
Oh. I did not know that. And this is about all we know for the celebration so far, except that Fantasy Springs is now set to open within fiscal year 2023, which is a little different than what they've said in the past. They've just said 2023 since day one, but now it's fiscal year 2023, which runs until March 2024.
So. Tricky. That's tricky. It's got to be within the Jewish year of 2023, which actually happened about 2,000 years ago. So you're late.
Well.
I don't know.
It should be open already.
Right.
I watched it was actually a monorail vlog from TDR Explorer where Chris went to all of the stops and got on and off the monorail all day, and it went past the Fantasy Springs construction. It's really big.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, and it's gone up so fast, including the new hotel that will be similar to Miracosta, and that it will be kind of in and out of the land. They're just moving right along. So I hope it will be an actual 2023 when it opens and not 2024.
A lot of good reasons to head out to Japan in the next couple of years, for sure.
As if we need it anymore.
Exactly. our bucket list is getting longer.
Too long.
Dare we talk about this? Are we going to spark controversy?
Listen.
Because I have opinions on this.
Diz Twitter is a place. I can't say magical, but it is a place on the internet. And some people in Twitter are very passionate about very specific things. And it turns out one of those very specific things were the Ohana noodles.
Yep. Ohana, if you don't remember, is the family style restaurant in the Polynesian, which has been closed. They have reopened for reservations, and it took, despite all of the complaints about changes to the menu, and we'll dig into those menu changes in a second, but whatever the complaints were, it didn't stop it from booking out like instantly.
Yep.
Like you might be able to squeeze into a breakfast, but if you want to eat there for dinner, you're either going to have to start getting up and checking that every single morning, or get one of these reservation services that you can find online to help you book it. But because it's just, you know, it's gone. It's all gone.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It officially reopens on July 9th, and it seems that it books out 2 months in advance. And Theron, the one who covered this for us, checked as far as you could go into the future for any kind of availability, and it's all gone. Yeah. No single open dinner reservations.
Now, there, it is perfectly possible. I don't know if they're booking these with 100% capacity, but it's possible that additional capacity could be added. So it always pays to go in and double check. People also cancel reservations. Things randomly pop up.
Yeah.
But it won't be easy, especially for this one. It will not be easy. So we should talk about the big menu change. So the thing that drove everyone crazy is that they took the noodles off the menu. Now, I believe as of this recording, they have now backtracked and said the noodles are coming back. Here's the thing. There was another thing that they changed on the menu, as far as I know. I'm old enough to remember the days when you went to Ohana. Number one, well, for the pineapple with caramel dipping sauce that they gave you at the end.
Ooh.
But the main reason you were there was for the grilled shrimp. You know, the you weren't paying all that money for lo mein. You were paying that money for the grilled peel and eat shrimp off of the skewers. And as far as I can tell, the shrimp are now a shrimp casserole. Which I'm not entirely sure what that consists of. But I feel like this is the kind of thing where they take away two things. One of them they really care about, and the other they don't. They give you back the one they didn't really care about. Disney is not losing money on 2 cents worth of noodles, but they were losing money on those shrimp. So if I'm correct in the fact that the shrimp are not what they used to be, then that's really, you know, they use the noodles as a distraction. Everyone look over here at the noodles while we take away your shrimp. It's at the same time, you know, they reopened Cape May Cafe over at the Yacht and Beach Club. And that was, when that was a buffet, it was famous for its crab legs. Well, now if you want the crab legs, you're paying extra. The base price hasn't really gone down any. But you're only getting shrimp and fish and clams and mussels for that price now. If you want the crab legs, that's going to cost you extra. So I feel like, you know, Disney has made a smart financial decision, I'm sure, in their eyes, to take advantage of these closures and reopenings to, you know, take some of the more expensive items off their menus or make them cheaper without having to lower their prices. And it seems to be working for them.
So you're saying we need to start Shrimpgate?
I want a thorough investigation of exactly what the shrimp situation is, what they look like. Because back in the day, those were like jumbo shrimp with the shell on, perfectly grilled. And I could eat, I could seriously get my money's worth just in shrimp on those in the old days.
You're the reason why they took them away.
In the old days with a, if you had an annual pass discount or a, the predecessor of tables in Wonderland, you could eat there for like $20 or less.
Whoa.
It was a bargain back then. It is not that price no. anymore.
I'm
going to start shouting at kids to get off my lawn if I talk any more about what prices used to be.
I wish I had the meme where from The Simpsons where it's like old man yells at cloud. It's old man yells at noodles.
Yes.
A new kind of educational offering is coming to Walt Disney World and Disneyland in 2022 called Disney Imagination Campus. And I'm jealous.
Yeah, these are workshops and other activities that students, I believe they have programs that range all the way from middle school up to high school and college. They can participate in that. They involve everything from arts and humanities, science and technology, hospitality management, pretty much every aspect of the Disney theme parks. They have some sort of experience or workshop for students. And they are also going to be bringing back their music performance program. You may remember seeing local high schools or even schools from across the country performing in marching band parades down Main Street or other musical performances around the parks. That's obviously been suspended, but that's going to be coming back. And all of these kind of educational programs, it seems, are now being wrapped up under this kind of new umbrella.
Yeah, Disney has gotten Walt Disney Imagineering in on this. Mm-hmm. In the imagery, at least, it shows people going to Rise of the Resistance. So maybe you could learn about ride engineering and crafting immersive experiences. There's also people at Epcot. You could learn about different cultures and things like that. What's interesting is that there will also be ticket-only workshops.
So I looked into this a little, Kahoot is one of their partners, and you can actually go and get a little sample of this online without even having to register. They have some interactive quizzes online where you can watch a little video. You watch a little 30-second video about some aspect of Imagineering or hospitality, and then take a little multiple choice quiz. And they have a whole wide range of these that you can participate in for free. But I guess these are tied into some kind of hard ticket events. These are not things, I'm not sure that these are things that just an individual person can book necessarily. A lot of them have to be through a group or through a school or an educational program. But you can look at their new Disney Imagination Campus website and see some of the things that are available and click through and see if they're available to book.
This seems like the next step up from, I think it was Imagineering in a Box, that YouTube channel that they did during COVID. It feels like that next step up for kind of moving WDI to kind of the public eye and being like, this is what makes everything.
Yeah.
Very cool. I wish this was...
If I was a kid, I would definitely want... I'm jealous students who get to do this.
Wait, you think we could pass as high schoolers? Say we've been held back a lot.
You might be able to. Me, not so much. Not gonna happen.
You were held back a lot.
I held out a lot.
Electric Ocean is back as of June 11th at SeaWorld San Diego.
Yep, which means it is running right as we speak. It's probably happening right now. I know Electric Ocean is also going on here at SeaWorld in Orlando because our friend of the show and occasional correspondent, Eric O, was there just the other night. And yep, fireworks, music. Dayglow costumes. It's basically the we have here in Orlando every year the Electric Daisy Carnival, which is basically, you know, and a big EDM rave, and so it's a family friendly version of that without the chemical assistance and nudity. But you still get the laser lights and the giant inflatable crazy sea creatures. This time they've got a time surf tunnel, which I guess is a an area with music from old SeaWorld attractions, with a light show. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I love the giant.
I want to meet that octopus.
Right? Do they do that?
He looks happy.
Orlando?
I don't recognize that octopus from Orlando. We do have a lot of the lights and the fireworks and stuff, but that octopus is pretty nifty.
And the laser reef light show mm-hmm. with the lasers going above your head is very cool. And that there's also a jellyfish canopy. They did not share pictures of that, but that is exactly what I thought about. Was like bouncing on a sea of jellyfish, but it looks like a ton of fun.
Just don't touch the tentacles.
No. Sting. Yeah. It's running now and it runs on select days through September 6th. So if you are out that way, go check it out and tell us if the octopus is nice or not. I need to know if he's friendly. Legoland Florida Resort is also getting in on a music festival with a one weekend only, very special event, September 4th through the 6th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. called Lego Video, it's spelled differently, Music Fest, with the world's first signed to a major label minifigure?
So, yes, DJ Llama is on a worldwide tour of all the Lego lands promoting the Lego Video product and the song. I mean, if Alvin and the Chipmunks could be major stars, and they weren't even real, they were cartoons. This is actually a physical minifigure, you know. It exists, so
yeah.
I have no reason why. Next, it'll be a house plant. We'll have a recording career. The neat thing, if you don't know what this Lego Video is, it's a toy and it's an app that uses your smartphone camera to do augmented reality. So it's basically you can shoot a little music video with your kid and your Lego toys, and it will insert special effects and animated Lego characters into it, and then you can safely publish it, and you know they have privacy options. It's a pretty neat little ecosystem, it's the idea that they got a record label to sign a minifig is
not just
amazing.
Any label, Universal Music Group, I think.
right
and what I want to know is, will the performances, will DJ Llama be big or minifigure size? I kind of hope
that's an excellent question. I hope it's a tiny little, like they have a little puppet or something, a little tiny, just this long.
And then they have a camera on it.
I'm sure they have a human size walk around DJ Llama.
If you want to listen to the song, the debut single is called Shake, and it features Grammy Award winner Ne-Yo, which I haven't heard him do any new music since I was in like middle school.
Well,
but
he's now going from the preschool set.
All right. I believe it's out on all streaming services now if you want to check that out. And you can attend Video Music Fest Labor Day weekend at Legoland, Florida. Okay. We're going to run through this quickly. We have to talk about some E3 stuff. We don't really cover games on attractions that much unless they're theme park adjacent. So I went through everything that's been announced so far and pulled out the ones that I felt were most appropriate. Specifically, this coverage is coming from Polygon. So thank you, Polygon, for covering this. We're starting off with Jurassic World Evolution 2, which is from Frontier, the folks who did Planet Zoo and Planet Coaster, if you've played those games.
I have not, personally. Oh, but they're kind of park building sims. So you have a sandbox mode where you can basically just build fences, build enclosures, drop a bunch of dinos in there. Or you can kind of recreate challenges from the films. And you're going to have Jeff Goldblum and Bryce Dallas Howard reprising their roles for that.
I love it. I actually have the first one installed on my computer right here. And they can get loose and eat people.
Nice.
Lawyers.
They're only allowed to eat the lawyers.
I haven't personally played it, but Josh is a big fan. So when they announced this, he was very excited. This will come out in 2021. A trend with E3 so far is that they're not really giving dates because of COVID. Mostly because so many games have announced dates and then had to push them back because of development delays. So they're saying late 2021 for this one. It will be out on PS4, PS5, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Windows PC.
Everything except Switch.
Yeah, everything except Switch. Rest in peace. This was a super surprise. I remember hearing Ubisoft working on a couple of different properties. I think they're doing a Star Wars game in addition to an Avatar game, and they finally showed off this new game. It's set for 2022, and it's called Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. It's a first-person action-adventure game set in the Avatar universe.
It's really pretty looking. That trailer looks great. I assume that is what it looks like on the next-generation consoles, or if like you have, I don't know, an RTX 3090 in your, in your PC. But it's a beautiful-looking game. The thing that I thought was interesting is they talk about how this takes place in the western frontier that is a never before seen place of Pandora. But some of the shots, especially the end, look very similar to the Valley of Moara, that is where the Pandora land in Animal Kingdom is set. There's some rock structures and things that basically look identical to stuff that we see in the land. So I don't know if there is any connection or if it's just similar art direction. Be curious to see if there is any tie to the theme park.
The only thing I'm disappointed about is that it's first person. I really do not like first person games. I prefer third person just so I can like have a point of reference for what I'm doing.
It's interesting because the trailer really is all third-person footage. I don't know if everything in the trailer is cinematic, but you know, it especially like flying on the back of an Ekron or
that I would let slide. You could put that in first person, but
I was thinking that would be a lot more easy to control in third person.
Yes,
you know, I'm thinking like Panzer Dragoon.
Oh yeah, well we shall see. We'll they see didn't when... really.
2022, we'll have to wait and see what it looks like.
Yep. Okay, this one was so unexpected. I was so surprised to see that Sea of Thieves was teaming up with Disney to do a Pirates of the Caribbean story-based expansion for free if you already own the game or have it on Game Pass.
Yeah, this is one that it always pops up in my Game Pass saying, hey, you should install this. And so now I think I might get around to installing this one.
It seems very cute. It's got Captain Jack Sparrow in it, Davy Jones, There was a Tia Dalma-esque character, but it didn't look like her, so I didn't know if that was what they were going for. Gibbs is also in it, which I thought was really cool. The trailer, if you haven't watched it, it starts with the creepy Child Pirate's Life for Me song from the third Pirates film. And man, it's just, it's such a good fit. The comedy is perfect for Pirates. I wonder if they got Johnny Depp to do the voice role, because it sounds a lot like him, but I know that there are so many voice doubles for him.
Right.
I would imagine probably not, but if not, it's a really good voice double.
Well, I know he does need work these days.
That's true. But this is it's a storylined expansion. It's not like a Black Flag with ships. I think that's King of the Seas, which is another game coming out, which is just the ships part of Assassin's Creed Black Flag. This is like an actual storyline. You can play in addition to your Sea of Thieves character. I think they even gave a date for it, but it's not here. I think it comes out at some point in this year, but I'm super excited. I don't have an Xbox, so I can't play this unless I want to play it on my computer, I guess.
But yeah, because Sea of Thieves, I think, is also on PC Game Pass.
Yeah.
So should be able to play it on either, if that's true.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Square Enix did a huge bomb drop and revealed a brand new Marvel game, Guardians of the Galaxy.
But not the Guardians of the Galaxy from the MCU.
No.
This is a totally mostly new take inspired by the comic books. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's not the Chris Pratt version. We've got a spiky-haired blonde Star-Lord, and we've got characters that have kind of different character designs than you may be used to. But it looks like it's going to be a action-oriented game where you'll be able to play as Star-Lord, but also issue commands and team up with other members of the Guardians.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We'll talk about this next, but Marvel's Avengers, which was developed by Crystal Dynamics, this is being developed by Eidos Montreal. So I have a bit more hope for it, but Marvel's Avengers was pretty disappointing.
Oh, and see, well, our next stop,
yeah,
this new Wakanda expansion, Black Panther themed expansion called War of Wakanda for Marvel's Avengers. I thought the trailer for that looked pretty neat, and I was almost thinking that maybe next price drop I will finally buy Marvel Avengers, but maybe I'll hold off again.
I have such complicated feelings about it, because when it was first announced, I was like so excited. It was I think maybe one or two E3s ago. They were kind of pitching the game with the cast. It has Troy Baker is in it, and Nathan Drake. His name just left my brain, but the performer
Nolan North,
and they're in it, and I love their work. And I was like, "Yeah, a Marvel game." I was really high on my Marvel kick, and then they showed the trailer, and it was like these just Uncanny Valley alternate universe movie but not movie likenesses of these characters, and I almost wish that they would have gone not that direction.
Yeah, I almost feel like, especially right now, it's like, you know, if you did a Harry Potter game and everyone did not look like the movie actors.
Yeah,
you know, it's better if you're going to do that, then make it cartoonish, make it cel shaded, make it, you know, exaggerated caricatures or something.
Yeah.
When it's like kind of realistic, but not the characters like we're used to seeing them, it's harder to suspend disbelief, I think.
Yeah. And then we won't even get into all of the microtransactions and the online mobile, the like battle system online play. But they've announced this new Black Panther expansion, and it's a narrative expansion. Claw is in it, which is cool. You get to go to Wakanda, which is awesome. But I don't know. I'm skeptical. Right.
When it's under $20, then maybe I'll pull the trigger.
Yeah. And Brian said, well, that Harry Potter open world got delayed to next year. Yep. Yes, but it doesn't
a lot of big things delayed, I think.
It doesn't have the trio in it. It's set like 200 years before the events of Harry Potter. In other news,
back now that to theme parks.
Yes, we'll have more E3 to talk about next week, depending on Monday and Tuesday. Jersey Devil has officially opened as Six Flags Great Adventure as new single rail coaster, which looks horrifying, and I really want to ride it.
So I believe that they opened this up on the 10th, right? This was the same day as I was at the grand opening of the Velocicoaster. Our good friend Ricky Pagante was in New Jersey for this event. And I don't know. If you're opening a new roller coaster, I would not go right up against the Velocicoaster because you're not going to get a lot of publicity. Sorry.
Well, technically it opened today.
Yes. Yeah. But I think their media day was up against the grand opening.
Yeah.
However, this is my original home coaster. I grew up in New Jersey, and I spent many, many hours at Great Adventure. So I am excited to maybe get back up there later this summer and ride this for myself. I have not been on a single rail design. These are still pretty unique. The Wonder Woman Golden Lasso, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the other one that's out there of this kind of single rail design. But, you know, hugging that rail and only having one person single file means that you can really take much tighter curves, you know, have a much more compact, twisty layout. And from the POV video of this, go online and check out that POV.
Yeah.
Because... you know, it might not be Velocicoaster, but this looks pretty intense.
And I just can't imagine, like, straddling this track, which looks like a Hot Wheels track.
But it does. It almost looks like a toy. And you're so close to it. Like, if you look normally, you know, a roller coaster is sitting up a little bit higher, you know, a little bit more elevation. This, I feel like, you know, your feet are practically on the track itself. This is gonna be a very different. This is not gonna feel like a big B&M. You know, this is gonna be a very tight, intimate experience, and I really want to check that out for myself.
I want you to ride in the front seat.
Yeah.
So you can get.
I want a picture with the devil's face.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, you have to go and do like the horns in front of the devil. It would be so cute. So the coaster, it has a top speed of 60 miles per hour. The 130 foot ascent, an 87 degree first drop, and 180 degree stall. There's a Raven dive and a zero gravity roll. So they are really trying to mess you up on this thing.
Yep.
I'm so jealous. I've never been to a Six Flags park, but I definitely want to make the trek someday to go ride this one.
You have at least two in your state. You have no
excuse. I know. I have no excuse. And in our last bit of news in the queue news, Jurassic World Velocicoaster is now officially open.
Wait, what? I hadn't heard about this.
Oh, I'm surprised. Mr. I'm going to ride it 18 times in a single day.
Listen, we've talked so much about Velocicoaster over the, you know, I feel like now that we're past the open, we're never going to talk about it again. It makes me a little sad. But it lives up to the hype, guys. You know, I think opening day went really smoothly because they've been letting so many people ride it in soft opening. And that definitely helped. But also, operations did a really fantastic job keeping the line moving. I think the longest the line got on opening day was it was posted at 4 hours. And I think even when it was posted 4 hours, it was really close to 3 hours. I rode three times on opening day. And the longest I waited was 45 minutes. So that's kind of crazy. In fact, I wish that the people who run ops could go over and talk to the people who run food and beverage, because The only thing that was awful on opening day, everything was just beautiful except for you could not get food or beverage from quick service or outdoor vending. It was quicker to wait in line for the Velocicoaster and get a free churro at the end than it was to try to buy a churro.
Wow.
That's insanity. I've noticed issues with food and beverage at all the parks, but Universal's been the worst.
Do you think it's because of that labor shortage, perhaps?
I think it's a combination of it's definitely, they have, you know, brought full capacity pretty much back to the parks, back to the attractions. They have not staffed up food and beverage to match. And whether that's because of a staffing shortage or they're just making scheduling decisions, I don't know. But whatever it takes, they need to get, you've got a lot of stands that should be manned by two or three people with just one poor employee trying to take care of a line stretching. It's pretty nutty. So hopefully that was the only negative note that I had about opening day. But you know, the attraction itself ran great. Some minor downtime, but really compared to the Hagrid's opening, compared to that 7.5 hour misery, it was like a night and day difference.
Yeah, it really seems like they took the lessons from that experience and applied it here. Very jealous of everyone that got to go. I will make it eventually, I promise. And that's everything for news in the queue. And before we get to main attraction, let's have a word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
Yay! Our first commercial.
That was exciting. I didn't realize it was going to be all produced and packaged.
Hey, shout out to Destinations with Character Travel.
Check them out if you are looking to book a trip.
And for this week's main attraction, the biggest big news, no more masks as of June 15th at Walt Disney World.
Of course, I am going to be rope dropping Hollywood Studios tomorrow, Monday, June 14th. So I will still be, if I do manage to get myself on Rise of the Resistance, I will still have to experience it with a mask on. But after that, they are going to do what Universal and SeaWorld have been doing for a bit now, which is basically leaving it up to the guests and saying, officially, the only people who are allowed to be unmasked are those people who are fully vaccinated. However, there is no method or procedure for verifying that you are vaccinated. They simply take people's word for it. Yeah. So you're on the honor system. People who are still not fully vaccinated, which includes children who are too young to be vaccinated at this point, are still requested, suggested to wear masks, indoors, outdoors. But starting on the 15th, the only places where you will be mandated to wear them is on transportation such as buses, monorails, and the Skyliner. I've been backed. I did go to the Magic Kingdom the other day right after they made masks mandatory outdoors. Mm-hmm. And it was both wonderful and weird to be on Main Street and see people smiling and talking and standing close to each other and taking selfies, because I haven't seen that in more than a year. It's sort of been burned into our brain, like, oh, is my mask slipped? Is my mask covering? And then now it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about that now. And, you know, it was actually, it was a little awkward. It, at Universal, they pretty much went very quickly from you have to wear a mask to you don't have to wear a mask at all anywhere. And at Disney, in this half and half state we're in right now, where you don't have to wear it outdoors, but you do have to wear it anytime you're indoors, I'm constantly having to remind myself to pull the mask back out, put the mask back on. Or then if I'm inside and I go back out, I'll find I'm standing outside for 20 minutes. And I realize, why am I so hot? Oh, wait, because I'm wearing a mask and no one else is. So it's just going to take a period of mental adjustment.
Yeah.
But, you know, I obviously no one, everyone's happy to see the pandemic end. Everyone is happy for it to be over. But there are things about the way we've been doing things that I'm going to miss. And I kind of feel like in some ways we just have gone a little too fast. Like,
yeah.
All right. No longer requiring you to use hand sanitizer before you go on the rides at Universal. Great, fine. But you should still have hand sanitizer available at the entrance and the exits of attractions. And I will say, over visiting 5 different theme parks in the last week, I would say 1 dispenser out of 10 still is filled with sanitizer.
Wow. Almost
everywhere I've checked, they're constantly out. And, you know, I liked not having someone parked right next to my car. I liked having not someone step on my heels.
Yes.
Constantly like having to turn around, look behind you because someone is looking at their phone and they're bumping into your back, you know, every time you take a step forward.
Yep.
You know, I wish we could keep some of the stuff that was working.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're just kind of like the focus right now is let's be normal, get everything back to normal. Just forget all this happened.
No.
And, That's kind of where it seems like we're at right now.
Because there are certain things that I really liked, just because social interaction can be scary. So I loved that you could go to World of Disney and buy stuff on your app and then just scan it and leave. You don't have to do the whole, hi, are you having a magical day so far? Da, 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 da. And mobile order, which is my favorite thing that they've ever added to the parks ever. And the bubble thing, the physical distancing. I hate when people are standing too close to me. I've always hated it. And
you got a year and a half of personal space. I hope you enjoyed it.
I just, man, I wish that they still had some kind of like pulsing system for queues, at least on rides where they're not so packed that you have 2 inches of space in front of and behind you.
Beginning to get to know your neighbor once again. Something I did not I didn't mind about the pandemic was the distancing and the queues. And we're back to normal now. So
I thought it was going to be longer before things would happen. I was expecting until the fall maybe before we
my guess was 4th of July. I thought we'd at least make it to 4th of July, but nope. We're right back to 2019 rules, almost.
Yeah,
with some fig leaves of extra sanitizing, but
yeah,
nothing really substantial. Yeah.
So I guess now we just have to wait and hold out for live entertainment to really come back and character meet and greets to really come back and fireworks as well.
Mm-hmm. Fireworks.
Will be a big one.
Absolutely. Keep an eye on Harmonious. I think that between Harmonious and whatever they've got cooked up for the 50th at the Magic Kingdom, they're going to really want, when they bring back those nighttime spectaculars, I think they're going to want to go big.
I sure hope so.
Yep.
But that's everything for this week.
We went over by 2 minutes. That's not
2 minutes.
Not
I think we did all right. And before we get to listener thank yous, I once again wanted to thank Destinations with Character Travel for sponsoring this episode. Thank you so much. I hope you don't mind being on this crazy train with us too much. And I would also love to give some thank you shout outs to each club and VIP subscriber that subscribed over the past week. If you don't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. And if you pick club or VIP the week after you join, you get a shout out right here on the podcast. So this week we are sending big thank yous to Brenda Thompson, Aurora Dominguez, and Nick Dalton. Thank you so much.
Yay. Thank you.
Yay. And our summer issue is available now at attractionsmagazine.com/store. You can get it physically, or if you prefer an e-reader digital version, it is also available on the Nook and Kindle apps, as well as through our digital subscription option.
And I just want to remind everyone that now is the time where you should head on over to Apple Podcasts, click on that 5 stars, and please leave us a review, preferably a positive review.
Yes.
so that you can share the Attractions Magazine podcast love with everyone else and help spread the word. Speaking of spreading the word, if you want to follow me on social media, you can head over to @Eskuberski or @TheUGSeries on Twitter. Or on Instagram, it's @TheUnofficialGuides. And Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLES is spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. But also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been with us for the past hour and 5 minutes officially. Woo. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe. I guess don't wear your mask anymore. Still wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer.
You do you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.